The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Have shoulder or knee arthritis and thinking about surgery? Find out about stem cell therapy to repair tissue without having surgery. Call 303-757-7280 for a free stem cell consultation.
Station. He's out of bed and dressed. What more do you want?
God.
Peter Boyles on 710 KNUS.
Nah, the Godfather's got his jammies on, all tucked in. Taking the day. Peter Boyles will be back tomorrow. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism. I do Denver's only live local conservative call-in show on Saturday mornings from 6 to 9, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, and that is a poppin' place. So good to have you along this morning on this Veterans Day. 6:02, very cold. Roads are extremely slick, surprisingly slick this morning. Just too warm yesterday. It got wet and then froze. And so, you know, we got to kind of ease into that winter driving. Otherwise, it will surprise you. Don't let that happen. We've been doing Veterans Day quotes, and got another one here from Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers. There is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism. And then one of our own local heroes, Pete, a regular contributor to the show, he writes in, he's a former Marine, President Trump should have told French President Emmanuel Macron to go himself after that little pissant said Europe should form an army to protect itself against the United States, Russia, and China. This country saved their bacon twice in one century. There are thousands of Americans who paid the ultimate price buried in France. Next time the Germans decide to march to Paris, we should let them. Semper Fi. That's Pete. Pete's a little hot this morning. I can't say I blame him. I read you some of the quotes from Macron last hour. All right, lot to talk about. We're going to get back to the phones in a bit. 303-696-1971. But right now, pleased to welcome in a good friend, one of the smartest guys I know, the Washington Insider for Tea Party Patriots, the national group that I like to hang around with. Bill Pascoe's on the line. Bill, welcome back to Denver.
Good morning, Randy, and thank you to all the veterans who have served. I'm really glad that we're having this conversation today.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, and you know, unlike Memorial Day, where it just feels heavier when you're mourning the ones who lost. And I read the great Patton quote that said, you know, we really shouldn't mourn those who are gone. We should celebrate the fact that such men lived or such people lived. They're competing holidays for sure. And this is one just to celebrate that men and women are willing to serve this country and put it all on the line. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
We're very, very lucky.
I missed, you know, I was too young for the Vietnam War. We had a pretty strong stretch of peace and dropped out of high school, wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to the country or anything else. And so I missed the opportunity to serve. And there are times I look back on that and really do regret it. But I never let a moment go by when I know I'm in the presence of a veteran to say thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, there's a lot of debate over what happened last week in the elections. From an historical perspective, this was not necessarily a blue wave, at least not across the board. It is classic, typical for the party that's in power to lose the House of Representatives in the first midterm of a new president. And, you know, one of the exceptions, there's been, what, three exceptions to that in the last 80 or 100 years, and one of those exceptions was George W. Bush right after 9/11, so you kind of got to throw that one out of the mix. So the swing back of the House to the Democrats, not unexpected. What was extremely unusual was that this president picked up seats in the United States Senate. Looks like at least three, and maybe another.
Well, talk about unusual. Yeah, but in fact, the most that Republicans, that a Republican president has ever picked up in the Senate in a midterm election is two seats. That was Richard Nixon in 1970. So if we end up holding the seat in Florida, and now at this point during the ongoing counting, the lead has shifted since election night in Arizona. The Democrat, Kyrsten Sinema, is now leading in that race. If she holds on to that seat, that would actually be a flip for the Democrats. That's the Jeff Flake open seat. But if Republicans can find a way to emerge victorious in both Arizona and Florida, we would have a three-seat pickup, which has never been done by a Republican president in the last century. Not since Reconstruction have Republicans gained three seats in the Senate in a midterm election when there's a Republican president. So that truly would be history-shattering, history-making. On the House side, it looks like at this point, it looks like Republicans are going to lose between 35 and 30, possibly as many as 38 or 39 seats in the House. That is not as bad as the Bill Clinton wipeout in 1994 when Democrats lost 54 seats. It's not as bad as the Barack Obama wipeout in 2010 when Democrats lost 63 seats. But it would be out of the norm for a Republican president in his first midterm. That is a higher average than a Republican president typically loses in his first midterm. Then we've got governor's races to look at. Republicans gave up seven governorships. They picked up one in Alaska, but they lost a crucial one in Wisconsin where Scott Walker was defeated for reelection. On the other hand, they held Ohio. Which surprised some people, myself included. I didn't expect that. And it looks like they held Florida. Florida is in a recount now. But the Republican candidate for governor, Ron DeSantis, has a strong lead over Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum. And unless there's some funny business going on, and we don't know whether there's funny business going on, there's some suspicious activity. Some questions have been raised about what's going on in Broward County in particular. But if Republicans hold on there, that's obviously a good sign for 2020, that Republicans held on to the two crucial governorships in Ohio and Florida. And by the way, they did hold Iowa as well.
Talking with Bill Pasco, the Washington insider from Tea Party Patriots, and the president has tweeted again. Fourth tweet of the morning, but this one is relevant to the conversation. He just tweeted out, the Florida election should be called in favor of Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis in that large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere, and many ballots are missing or forged. An honest vote count is no longer possible. Ballots massively infected must go with election night. What's your perspective on that tweet? Does that help the situation?
Well, I'm still waiting to see hard evidence of vote fraud. We know that there are questions raised about the handling of ballots. Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, who was running for the United States Senate as the Republican nominee against incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson, filed suit last week because Brenda Snipes, the election supervisor in Broward County, just kept producing new ballots in the count and said, well, we're counting the provisional ballots, the mail-in ballots, the absentee ballots. And she would not reveal how many ballots had been cast and how many ballots had yet to be counted. And that's obviously an important part of the process, transparency. If you want to have trust on both sides, if you want everybody to have confidence in the process that you're using to count the ballots, it would begin by revealing right up front, this is how many ballots we have in hand, and this is how many ballots we've counted, and that means this is how many ballots that we have yet to count. She wouldn't do that, and that raises an obvious question. Why wouldn't she do that? To a reasonable person, that's not a responsible thing to do. There's no explanation for that, which allows people to say, well, the obvious reason that she's not telling us how many ballots she has left to count is because they haven't figured out how many ballots they have to manufacture. And that, it seems to me, is a reasonable question to ask. So we're going to see the The recount is underway now under state law in Florida. If those races are, if outstanding races have a margin between the two leading candidates of 0.5% or less, it automatically goes to a machine recount. Those recounts will be completed by Saturday. If they, if the recount then shows a margin of less than 0.25%, then they do another recount, this one done by hand. Right now, it looks like the Senate race, the margin separating the two candidates is about 0.41%. In the governor's race, the margin separating the two candidates is exactly the reverse. It's 0.14%. So that one, the governor's race may actually go on to a hand recount. We'll have to see.
How is it that these problems always seem to occur, and the ballots that always seem to show up out of a trunk, out of the back seat of a car, back of a classroom, wherever these boxes of ballots are found, always seem to benefit the Democrats?
You know, that's just a great question. I don't have an answer for you. But it certainly, that certainly does seem to be the impression that we get.
Yeah.
Why don't Republican counties have a hard time counting ballots? Why, I don't know.
Yeah, it's the idea that there is not voter fraud is absolutely ludicrous, and I hope this president has some mechanisms by which he can focus on that with the lame duck session between now and the end of the year, and then the new House takeover by the Democrats, including likely leader Nancy Pelosi. Why don't we take a look ahead at number one, is there anything that can be accomplished in the time that remains with the current makeup of the Congress? And then what do you expect to be the priorities of the Democrat-led House coming out in 2019?
Well, all right, we've got about 3.5 weeks to pass a funding bill. Right now, about 25% of the federal government, in terms of money spent, that is, we've already funded roughly 75% of the government through fiscal year 2019. They passed a huge bill in September that combined several appropriations bills. So we've funded the Department of Defense, and we've funded the Department of Labor and Health and Human Services. So we've got an awful lot of the government funding set in place as necessary for fiscal year 2019, which began on October 1. The rest of the government, about 25% of the government, is now operating on a continuing resolution. That is, they're spending money at last year's levels, and that goes through December 7th. So we have about 3.5 weeks to pass a funding bill for the rest of the government. There's going to be a fight in that funding bill, at least one big fight that we know of, and that is the president is adamant about getting appropriations to fund the border wall that he promised. Now, the House-passed version of the bill includes $5 billion. That's what the president wants, $5 billion in this round. The Senate-passed version of the bill has $1.6 billion. So Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Senate Democrats, is saying that he's concerned about border security and that ongoing negotiations are good, and he hopes the president stays out of it and lets him and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan is still in the mix. This is still the 115th Congress, and he's still the speaker, so he's still got a seat at the leadership table when these negotiations are going on. And Schumer is confident that the four of them can get together and come to an agreement. Now, with Democrats set to take over the House, I don't see what has changed to benefit Republicans that would make Schumer say, you know what, we're going to go ahead and give you the wall funding. They can't do anything about it in the House until January because Democrats are in the minority, and the House is a majority-run institution. We've had that conversation many times. On any given day, 218 members of the House can do whatever they damn well please. But in the Senate, you've got a 60-vote threshold, and Democrats have enough votes. They've got 49 votes in the Senate. They've got enough to block anything they want to block. I don't see what has changed that would give Democrats in the Senate any incentive to give the president what he wants. So we may be headed for a shutdown. Now, the president backed off a little bit. He had that long press conference in the middle of last week on Wednesday. He backed off a little bit. He had been threatening a shutdown if he didn't get the funding for the wall that he wanted. He backed off a little bit in the middle of the week. He wants to give everybody time to negotiate the deal. So we'll have to see. Now, as for what I look forward to in the 116th Congress, that Congress might as well just be named right now. Let's just call it the Trump Investigation Congress, because that's what Democrats are going to do. When you take the majority in the House, not only do you take the majority, you take the committee chairmanships, you take the gavels. And that means that you set the agenda, you set the calendar, you set the schedule, you decide what hearings you're going to hold, what are the topics, and who are the witnesses you're going to interview. And on any number of committees, the Democrats have made clear that they're going to begin investigating the Trump administration and President Trump personally. You know, there's a little known rule that the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee and the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee can ask the commissioner of the IRS to hand over anybody's individual tax return. Well, Democrats have wanted to look at President Trump's tax returns for years. Now that they're in the House majority, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee can legally ask the commissioner of the IRS, I'd like to see President Trump's tax returns. Now, that's supposed to be done in confidence, but I'll bet my last dollar that within 24 hours of the transmission of those documents to Capitol Hill, those documents are going to be leaked to the media. I think the Democrats are not going to find a way to make sure the media knows what's in President Trump's tax returns. That's the first thing he's got to worry about personally.
Why is it that Republicans comply with such instructions, but for instance, the Department of Justice ignores Congress when Congress exercises its authority to get documents released? And why doesn't Donald Trump go on the offensive and maybe declassify some of these FISA documents and some of the other things that appear to be the smoking gun? If you listen to Jim Jordan and others, some of the real experts on the deep state efforts to take out the Trump presidency and create these crimes, et cetera, why don't we spend the last 3 weeks of this Congress going ahead and getting all of that information out there before Nancy Pelosi comes in and plugs up the mechanism for doing so?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the Department of Justice stonewalling Congress's legitimate oversight functions. And it looks like they are going to be able to run out the clock. You know, if Rod Rosenstein can avoid being interviewed by the Oversight and Government Reform Committee for just a couple more weeks, he's going to be done with the 115th Congress. He'll be able to wipe his brow and say, phew, we dodged a bullet there, because he knows that the Democrats who will be controlling the House beginning January 3rd, they're not going to demand that he come up and answer their questions about that subject of the FISA warrant. Now, as to the FISA warrants themselves and why hasn't the president chosen to declassify that material, you remember a couple months ago, it looked like he was about to do that. And then from what I've been told, what happened was that it was actually the national security community came to him, not the FBI, not the DOJ, but the national security community, including the State Department, said, look, there's information there that we got from foreign sources. You'll recall that the original FBI story, the public version of the story of why they started the investigation, was that George Papadopoulos, a Trump campaign volunteer campaign aide, had had a conversation with the Australian High Commissioner and had passed on to this Australian diplomat information indicating that he seemed to think that the Russians had Hillary Clinton emails. Well, that information eventually got to us, us being the U.S. government. But because it came from a foreign source, it was originally a conversation that was reported by this Australian diplomat, the national security community is worried that if the president were to declassify some of that information, then in the future, in this case, the Australian government, might be a little bit more hesitant to share information with the American government. And given the closeness of the relationship between the intelligence communities in the United States and Australia and New Zealand and Great Britain and Canada, those five nations, along with the United States and Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Great Britain, are called the Five Eyes, and they have a very harmonious relationship, interrelationship among their intelligence communities. They work very closely together and have for a long time. And there's just concern that if he were to make public what's in those FISA documents, then those nations in particular would be more hesitant to share information with the United States in the future. So it's a balancing act on the decision that he's got to make. He could actually hurt the intelligence capabilities of the United States if he reveals too much. On the other hand, if he doesn't reveal enough, then he leaves this stupid impression out there, and he doesn't allow the House Republican congressmen who are fighting for the release of that information, principally Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and some other members of the Freedom Caucus, then they don't get the advantage of revealing to the public what they know, because they've seen those documents. They're members of Congress. They've got clearances to see those documents. They want to make those documents public for a reason. So President Trump has a tough balancing act here on this decision that he's got to make.
622, 20 degrees in the city. Peter Boyle's show. We are up against our first break, Bill. I don't know what your time is like this morning. I had hoped to have you put on your prognosticator's hat and also give the quick kind of action items for the next couple of days for anybody who wants to continue to fight the fight. But can you stay with us? Because we really do have to take this break right now.
Yeah, I can stay with you for one more segment.
All right, sounds great. 623 and the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran. Be right back on 710.
With the icy roads, drivers are about 15 miles an hour under the speed limit all around town. The worst trouble is I-25 North, just north of Arapaho. You're in a half mile of backups there. I-25 South, a crash at Bellevue as you're sitting past 225. I-70 slow, but no significant backups. This report is sponsored by Little Passports. Little Passports, the perfect holiday gift for that curious kid on your list. Kids get a fun-filled package each month to inspire their curiosity in the world. For kids of all ages, order today, littlepassports.com/Denver. I'm Cynthia Vale, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Hugh Hewitt reacts to the midterm elections.
Democrats are going to try and pretend to be happy about this. You know what I heard the most last night? This is not a blue wave. 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 It wasn't a blue wave.
They kind of had me thinking we were going to have a blue wave.
There was no blue wave. It was a string of blue volcanoes.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weekday mornings at 9, right before Dennis Prager at 11. On News Talk 710 KNUS. Real news. Stimulating talk.
When you look around, you might feel pride is in short supply these days. Everything's being disrupted. But Ford has been around for 115 years, and we know the only constant is change. So, disruption? Yeah, it's what we do every day. You see, we still take pride in what we build and how we build. We even take pride in taking pride. And the world could use more of that right now. Because if you don't believe in what you're doing, why do it at all? Build Ford proud.
Acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation. Nobody scrutinizes performance like you do. And acre to acre, year to year, generation to generation. Nobody delivers consistent performance like Asgrow, the highest yielding soybean seed in the U.S. Offering 100% exclusive genetics and innovation to keep you farming out in front. Ask your dealer how much further you can grow when Asgrow leads the way. Performance may vary. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Look, I want to tell you about American Financing. They really are the benchmark for everybody in the state of Colorado. Been in business since 1990, licensed in all 50 states. It's a Colorado family-owned and operated business right in our own backyard. Again, they're known for custom loan programs, fast closing, and no upfront fees. Longtime friends and great guys. You're a veteran, haven't used your VA benefits. Great interest rates this low. Time to do it again. Worried about down payments or closing costs? Don't be. American Financing is participating, and it's called CHAFA. It's a lender providing Coloradans with a low down payment assistance, getting into a home for as little as $1,000. Pre-qualifying 10 minutes, closing as fast as 10 days. They're out there. Your credit card interest rate is probably way higher than your mortgage rate, so you put these together, consolidate the debt. Enjoy savings of $500 to $1,000 a month. They are our best friends, and they do the job well. American Financing, 303-695-7000, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
This is Michael Medved. I'm here with Mike Stahl from Health Markets, helping folks find the right Medicare coverage. The news reports say that the rates might be going down.
The cost of many Medicare plans are decreasing this year. So you have to ask yourself, are you getting the best rate? Health Markets offers a free service with access to thousands of Medicare plans, plans that can eliminate your out-of-pocket costs, plans with $0 premiums, and even plans that pay you back.
What is it people need to keep in mind?
With so many new options, it can be confusing. You can get objective help to find a plan that may cost less and cover more, with lower copays, more choices like dental, vision, and prescription drug coverage, and the freedom to see the doctors you choose. Don't miss out on savings you deserve. Our Health Markets Medicare assistance is free.
Thanks, Mike. This is Michael Medved for Health Markets.
Find out if you can get a Medicare plan that pays you back. Call 800-735-8803. That's 800-735-8803. 800-735-8803.
All right, here's the great selling point of Relief Factor. Well, actually, the greatest selling point is that it works for the great majority of people who use it. But the big selling factor is really this. You can get all the pain relief benefits of Relief Factor without the negative side effects of ibuprofen. A couple of years ago, with great sciatic pain, I would take ibuprofen a lot, and it helped, but the side effects were so awful after a while that I just had to discontinue use. But that's not the problem with Relief Factor. So that's huge. So if you've been using any form of ibuprofen, now you don't have to with Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com, check out the pricing, and please give it a try because pain is pretty awful. Or call 800-500-8384. That's relieffactor.com.
Hi, Larry with Gravina's Windows at 950 West Evans. For years on the radio, you've been hearing about all those Gravina's window manufacturers fighting each other to get their prices down to earn your business. Times are tough, so why pay more elsewhere? Gravina's have the best values in Colorado. Ask Gravina's over 100,000 customers and counting. Gravina's have over 50 lines of vinyl, wood, and fiberglass windows, from high-end to the blue light special. With my kids in the business, we'll be there for you for generations to come. Gravina's has lots of specials like a free upgrade to triple pane with argon gas. Get double the R value. That's twice as resistant to heat and cold for your home. And Gravina's installs all winter long. Call Gravina's beautiful showroom at 950 West Evans, 303-936-7023. Nobody beats Gravina's. Nobody. Metro Denver, call 303-GRAVINA. Northern Colorado, call 970-GRAVINA. Gravina's have the greatest windows.
Tired of other adults telling you what to do? Online Trading Academy can teach you the skills to be able to trade in the financial markets and fulfill your dreams. This is Dave Logan. Online Trading Academy is the only financial educator that I personally endorse. You can check them out at this week's free half-day class, and you'll see why. Call soon, though, as these free classes fill up fast and space is limited. Online Trading Academy. Reserve your free class at 303-547-3588 or tradingacademy.com.
Hi, it's Stephen Tubbs. I invite you to join us here on 710 KNUS for the American Veteran Show. We profile veteran and active duty events, bring you amazing stories, current events, and we show our appreciation to those who wore or wear the uniform. Hear past episodes at AmericanVeteranShow.com.
The American Veteran Show with Stephen Tubbs, Sundays at noon on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. Look, we have gone on great vacation trips together, Belgium and France, and last summer, of course, we went into Italy. And now we're going to go to Ireland, the Emerald Isle. That's right. Go home. Come with me. Conservative Tours, next spring in Ireland. We've talked about these tours, and people that have gone before, you know, to come again. This means the Ireland you've always dreamt about, the Blarney Stone, the castles, the culture, the literature, and, of course, travel and seeing it. The warm embrace of Ireland. I've been once before, and it's the best. 4-star hotel properties, luxury motor coaches, professional caliber service. The Friends, Conservative Tours. Ken's our guy. It doesn't miss. Prices are right. Call the man up, 888-733-9494. This is going to sell out. We're going to leave, and of course, the embarkation point for the ill-fated Titanic passengers they left from Ireland. Call Ken today, Conservative Tours, for all the details, 888-733-9494. 888-733-9494. Let's go to Ireland.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Man, I haven't been listening to this show enough lately. I don't know where you're coming up with this bumper music, but I do love it. Sun's coming up, but it is nasty cold out there. 20 degrees. Roads are extremely slick because it was warm enough to get wet. Now it's frozen. And so just if you're working today or whatever you're doing, please be very, very careful. Do not become a statistic. 303-696-1971 is the number. I'm Randy Corporan in for the Godfather. Peter will be back tomorrow. And we're going to get right back to our guest here in just one second. I promised to be reading these quotes for Veterans Day. And I lost the one that I had. Where the heck did it go? It was really, really good. Well, we'll throw this one in. Oh, this was it. Tom Clancy, the U.S. military is us. No, that's not it. Duty, honor, country, those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be. That was General Douglas MacArthur, and there's a great one about heroes that I'll read when we come out of the next break. But Bill Pascoe was kind enough to wait with us because, Bill, I wanted to poke your brain. You've been in this business now for literally decades. You are the Tea Party Patriots Washington insider. And really look ahead. One of the consolations I've drawn from an election that really went more blue than I expected is that I think that everything that's happening right now and at Nancy Pelosi's speakership sets up well for Donald Trump's presidential run in 2020. What say you?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Randy. If you think back to 1996, after the 1994 wipeout, and remember that was truly an historic election because it gave Republicans control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 40 years. I had grown up my entire life under Democrat rule in the House of Representatives. And I can tell you, as a conservative political operative, even in the early 90s, coming out of the Reagan and Bush administrations, it never occurred to us, literally never occurred to us, that we could one day again hold the House of Representatives. It just seemed a permanent fact of political life that Democrats were going to own the House of Representatives and Republicans were going to have to make do with contesting for the presidency and contesting for control of the Senate. So 1994 really shattered something in the political body. And I can tell you, in early 1995, you may remember President Clinton was reduced to holding a press conference in which he declared his own relevance, just to remind people, hey, you know, I'm still the president of the United States. That gives me a pretty big bat that I can swing. And then, of course, to the surprise of just about everybody, he was reelected in 1996. Now, he did that by triangulating himself. That was the strategy that Dick Morris named it, where he positioned himself in between the Republican Senate and the Democrat House. Now, Do I think that President Trump is likely to do that, to position himself in between the Senate Republicans and the House Democrats? Nah, I don't think that's going to be Trump's strategy at all. And in fact, President Trump has said in that press conference last week and in other reporting since then, he would like to work with the Democrats on some areas. Well, okay, let's think about what areas could the president work with? The obvious one is an infrastructure bill. Democrats like to spend government money on infrastructure projects. It creates a lot of jobs. And they like to use government money to create jobs. So it doesn't really make any difference to the Democrats historically whether you're actually accomplishing anything with those government infrastructure projects other than putting people to work. They're happy to do that. And the president himself is a builder. That's his background. He's a developer. So he may find a way to negotiate an infrastructure bill. I'm not sure that Senate Republicans will go for that. We'll have to see. Depends on what's in the bill. Depends on how they do it. Are they doing it with straight taxpayer money, or are they doing it with tax incentives for developers? So we're not actually spending money out of the Treasury. We'll have to see. That's one area that I think they could come to agreement over. Beyond that, though, you look at what the Democrats are likely to do in the House, and, you know, I just can't help but think that history shows that Democrats overreach. They have a worse problem than Republicans do historically at overreading their electoral mandate. They get elected and they think, we got elected because we're left-wing progressives. No, that's not why you got elected. To the extent that Democrats took back the House, to the extent that there was wave, if you look at the seats that flipped, you've got two big groups of seats to look at. The first is there were 25 seats that Republicans sat in for the last 2 years that were won by Hillary Clinton. Think about that. What kind of a congressional district votes for Hillary Clinton for president, but then votes to reelect their Republican congressman? So there were 25 of those seats. Of those 25 seats, all but three have gone to the Democrats. Well, we expected that. That was the obvious target list. If you were a political operative over the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, you would have been sued for malpractice if you hadn't put those 25 lists at the top of your target list. But then there was a second group. There was a group of 20 seats where there was a Republican congressman, and President Trump won that congressional district, but he won it very close. He won it by 0 to 5 points. So those were closely contested at the presidential level. Of those 20 seats, Republicans only held two. Now, what do these seats have in common? Guess what? Almost all of them are suburban seats. That is, they've got a mix of some urban areas and some rural areas, and they're huge in the suburbs. They're better educated. They've got higher income on average than the average or the median congressional district. And those are the districts that Republicans lost that allowed Democrats to take control once again. The reason that most of those districts flipped was because college-educated white women in those districts broke against the Republicans. And that's a problem for Republicans going into 2020. We've got to get those voters back. The problem for Democrats is they think right now they think that they won the election because of their hard left progressive agenda. Medicare for All, a $32 trillion program that would require massive tax increases. There's a lot of Democrats that are coming to the House for the first time in January who actually think that's why they got elected. If they push through some kind of legislation like that, that's going to be political manna from heaven for the Republicans. They're going to love that. So I think what we're going to see over the next couple of years is Democrats in the House are going to overreach. They're going to go too far. They're going to push this hard left agenda. That's going to wake up the people who just voted, who just flipped, who just changed from 2016 to 2018 and voted Democrat in 2018. They're going to go, wait a second, this is not what I voted for. I wanted a check on President Trump. I didn't want you guys to grow the government again. Why do you always want to do that? And so I think those voters are going to be in play in 2020. Republicans have a very good chance of taking back the House that they just lost 2 years from now. And I think we're going to see a knockdown, drag out fight in the 2020 presidential race.
Yeah, that will be the most fascinating. Who do the Democrats ultimately emerge with? And how does Donald Trump step up his game even further? Because we've only got a minute or so here, but do you agree with me that Donald Trump has really set a new standard for how Republicans can and should fight to win rather than trying to see how likable they can be and how much good press they can squeeze out of a obviously left-preferring media?
Well, yes, I do. Absolutely. This is the biggest difference between Trump and every Republican presidential candidate of our lifetimes, Randy. You compare Trump to Mitt Romney or John McCain or Bob Dole or either of the Bushes or even President Reagan. They were all concerned, as much as they didn't want to acknowledge it, they were all concerned with what the Acela corridor, if you will, the New York to Washington media complex, the mainstream media, they were all concerned with what the mainstream media thought about them. Donald Trump couldn't care less what the New York Times and CBS News and MSNBC think of him. He's got his own platform. He's got 54 million followers on Twitter. He can wake up every morning and send out a bunch of bulletins on Twitter and know that he's not going through the media. He's going over and around and under the media. He's speaking directly to his supporters. And he couldn't care less what the mainstream media thinks of him. In fact, it's clear that he's figured out that his political success, part of his political success, rests on his ability not just to go around and over and through the media, but to use the media as a foil. he's now got significant percentages of the American people believing that he's more trustworthy than the mainstream media sources that they've been relying on for decades. And with good reason. They've given him reason to believe that. They've given American people reason to believe that because their reporting has been so bad for so long. So that's going to be an interesting development as we watch that play out during the 2020 election as well.
Bill, I want to push this break just a minute because we did not talk about the action items for the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Jim Jordan for speaker, those kinds of things. We've got to keep it kind of short, but would you give people some guidance if they want to get back into action and kind of shake off the doldrums? Because I can tell you,
yes,
Republicans, conservatives, and Tea Partiers in Colorado, we got slapped upside the head last week.
Okay, two action items. On Wednesday night, two nights from tonight, the House Republican Conference will be meeting. Now, that's going to be the House Republican Conference for the 116th Congress. They're going to have their leadership elections. And right now, there's only two guys running for the position of minority leader, which is obviously a very important job when you're in the minority. Kevin McCarthy, the current majority leader, part of the current leadership team that got us into this mess, thinks that the way to advance to the top job is to screw up the number two job. I disagree. I think Einstein said that the definition of insanity is to repeat the same things over and over again and expect a different result. Why would we think that we'd get a different result with Kevin McCarthy as minority leader for the next 2 years? I don't think that's the right move. I think the right move is to vote for Jim Jordan. So the action item for your listeners is to call your Republican member of Congress and urge him or her to vote for Jim Jordan for minority leader on Wednesday night's meeting of the House Republican Conference. Second action item for any listener who's got any friend, any colleague, any acquaintance at the White House, get in touch with them and urge them to counsel President Trump not to get involved in this race. There's a great fear right now. He's become personally close to Kevin McCarthy. And one tweet from President Trump saying, Kevin McCarthy's my guy, House Republicans should elect Kevin McCarthy to be minority leader, that would be very, very difficult, even for President Trump's strongest supporters in the House Republican Conference to overcome. They should be voting for Jim Jordan. He's a much better supporter of the president's agenda than Kevin McCarthy is. If we get Kevin McCarthy as minority leader, we're not going to have the same kind of fight in the House Republican Conference that President Trump needs.
Kevin McCarthy is like Mitt Romney light to me. And we do have to leave it there, Bill. I really enjoyed our conversation last night with you and Jenny Beth Martin. Please give her my regards. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else. People can go to teapartypatriots.org if they want to look up those action items or get contact information for their congressperson. Probably a waste of time here in CD6 without going Mike Kaufman. He distanced himself from the president. But we've got some other Congress critters in Colorado, and you can call around the country as well. So, Bill, I hope you have a great week, and thank you so much for spending some time with us here in Denver.
Thanks for having me, Randy. You take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Yes or no, does Donald Trump get reelected?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.
All right. 6:44. Be right back on the other side. Wide open lines till 8 o'clock when we'll be joined by my good buddy Trevor Loudon. 303-696-1971. Peter Boyle Show here on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710. Update.
Tom Moeller in the News Talk 710 KNUS News Center. Most Denver city and county offices will be closed today in observance of yesterday's Veterans Day holiday that includes city council, mayor, and other offices. The campfire in and near Paradise, California has now killed 29 people, with another 228 unaccounted. In Southern California, the Woolsey and Hill fires are threatening more than 50,000 homes in Ventura County and Malibu. The man accused of mailing pipe bombs to President Trump's critics, Cesar Sayoc, is scheduled for a pretrial hearing in federal court in New York City today, accused of waging a domestic terrorist attack. And Jared Manzanares, accused of shooting and killing a man in a Westminster Walmart parking lot October 26th, is due in court tomorrow. Scattered snow showers this morning, sunny this afternoon with a high temperature only reaching near 30. Warmer tomorrow on Wednesday, mid-40s tomorrow and mid-50s on Wednesday. Weather this hour brought to you by Colorado Flat Fee Realty. Pay less and keep more. ColoradoFlatFeeRealty.com.
You're slow in general, but only a few real tangled spots. I-25 South is almost stopped now, starting at Yale because of a crash just before Bellevue. I-70 East is heavy from Quebec to 225, but otherwise just slow and steady. 225 North, you're dealing with a crash before Mississippi that has you backed up almost to Parker Road. This report is sponsored by Compassion International. For just $5 a day, you can sponsor a child with compassion. Become a sponsor now at compassion.com/radio. I'm Cynthia Vale, 710 KNUS, First Alert Traffic.
Coming up on Monday's program, the latest on the California wildfires and the investigation into the Thousand Oaks killings. We commemorate Veterans Day 2018, and we unveil the Friday Homestretch Film Review Film of the Week at about 6:45.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, both at Tubbs Show. Hope you join us.
The Stephen Tubbs Show, weekday afternoons from 4 to 7, right after Chuck and Julie on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles. The holidays are quickly approaching, and before it, we all know the end of the year will be here as well. That's why it's the perfect time right now to look over your insurance policies. Do you have your policies up to date? I'm here to tell you about Sandy Perkins with GEICO, the best family of agents I've had the privilege of ever working with. They cover motorcycles, umbrella policies that cover everything, homeowners insurance, renters insurance, identity protection, so much more. A family of agents that will work together to make sure that you receive all the discounts and special benefits you deserve. So that's why you should contact Sandy and that family. These are the experts, years of experience selling insurance with GEICO. The great rates you've come to expect, all the personal touches that only a local GEICO agent can provide. GEICO, the second largest personal auto insurer in the country, insuring over 21 million drivers. Today's forecast is savings. Sandy's now located southeast corner of Arapahoe and University across from the streets of South Glen. 15 minutes save you 15% or more. Everybody knows that. So switch to GEICO. Call Sandy today for the updates, the overviews. 303-730-2426. 303-730-2426. Caller today.
The following is not an actor, but a real life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Doggone, did you know that every minute someone in the U.S. dies from heart disease? Visiting Front Range Preventive Imaging for a simple 15-minute painless EBT scan of your heart could save your life. Getting an EBT heart scan is the most accurate, most validated technology with the lowest radiation option for heart disease screening. The best, most accurate heart scan is an EBT heart scan at Front Range Preventive Imaging in Boulder. That's where I go. Getting an EBT heart scan with Front Range Preventive can help you first find out if you actually do have heart disease. Your first heart scan tells you if you have the heart disease better than anything else, and it's certainly better than just getting your cholesterol numbers checked. Heart scans are far better and more accurate for detecting heart disease and any issues in your heart. Rely on Front Range Preventive Imaging to get your heart scan. Don't wait any longer. The scan takes 15 minutes, and it's painless and very affordable. Call them today, 303-443-7226, or on the web at boulderscan.com. Again, 303-443-7226.
Albin, can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Okay, a long time ago, in a kingdom far away, a certain caveman named Donald stood up to a bunch of toxic swamp creatures and helped his fellow cavemen take their government back.
Yay!
It's incredible. And with my friend Tim Ragland, we tell the story. It's based on a true story of this noble caveman who defeats a group, a bipartisan group of cowardly swamp creatures. It's called Donald Drains the Swamp. Get your copy of this book by Eric Metaxas and Tim Ragland today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
This car I'm driving, I overpaid big time. It was such a mistake. I should have just gone to Carfax.com, but I went to some other site. They gave me a price range? Oh, they were way off! Son of a...
Carfax has a better way. When you search used cars at Carfax.com, you get the most accurate price based on the Carfax report, so you never have to overpay on a used car again. Start your used car search today at carfax.com.
I used to post to job boards that sent me tons of resumes.
Just to find a few people who were right for my job.
That old process was not smart.
Then I went to ZipRecruiter.
Its technology scans resumes for me to find the right people.
And actively invites them to apply. So I get qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
Hi, I'm Brian Gray, president of Alpine Planning Group. You might have heard us this morning with Peter Boyles, but if you haven't met us yet, now's the time. At Alpine Planning Group, our only business is financial planning. But that means we take the time to get to know every client, build a truly personal plan, and make retirement a success. Call 303-843-0918 or visit alpineplanninggroup.com. Folks, we're local, we're experienced, and we're ready. Alpine Planning Group, 303-843-0918. Call us today.
Hi, it's Peter Boyles for Cowboy Moving and Storage, the recommended mover. Go to cowboymoving.com and click on customer reviews. And incredible, the reviews, 661 reviews, all very positive. Google rating of 4.7. I mean, that's unheard of. Customer reviews on the website. See for yourself why Cowboy is the recommended mover. Owners and operators, Michael and Sherry Gale Folsom, longtime friends and own an old classic Indian motorcycle, family owned and operated by the same family since 1968. Cowboy provides residential commercial moves throughout Colorado. Store your valuables, residential moves. Thousands and thousands of families have trusted Cowboy, including mine, with a trusted move. Got a big commercial, got an office move. Cowboy specializes in commercial moves, state-of-the-art equipment, accessories, ensure your move is perfect. What makes Cowboy the recommended mover? The men that do the work. Many of the people have been with Cowboy for years. They are truly what makes the difference. From moves to loads to holds to storage, Cowboy's been Colorado's recommended mover since 1968. Cowboy donates a portion of every move to the Freedom Service Dogs. Go to cowboymoving.com, 303-789-2200, the recommended mover.
Go to 710KNUS.com to download our free mobile app and listen to 710KNUS on your phone, anytime, anywhere. Message and data rates apply. We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Tonto, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. You must have it, jump on it, jump on it, jump on it.
Can you even play music like that that says Kemosabe and has the word Apache? Remember, this is a Jared Polis Democrat-run state now. I think you may get a letter from some Colorado commission that says, hey, that is very anti-Indian or something. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back. Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran. Godfather is off today. He'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm the Saturday morning guy. Wake up with Randy Corcoran from 6 to 9 a.m. Don't have a whole lot of time right now, but load up the phone lines for the 7 o'clock hour, 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Was home yesterday, watched the CBS Sunday morning show. It's about an hour and a half, I think. And just, I always like to watch this stuff to see just how political they can become. And one of the fast facts that they flashed across the screen was that Americans own greater than 390 million guns, about 120 guns for every 100 people. That's from the Congress Research Service, Small Arms Service, part of the U.S. Census. So they thought that was important. You know that they're planting the seeds for all of the gun control, gun grabbing stuff that we'll start to see as the Democrats take over some state houses, including our own, and the Congress of the United States. But what a great opportunity to get loaded up on the facts with the big night coming up just two nights from now, Wednesday, when Peter and columnist and author David Harsanyi discuss the history of guns in America. You can watch it on your computer or your mobile device. Easy. It's free. Go to 710canus.com to sign up for this free online event. And if you sign up now, you'll be entered to be one of 10 insiders to receive a signed copy of David's book, First Freedom, A Ride Through America's Enduring History with the Gun. Let's make that a blowout. And we'll talk to you in the 7 o'clock hour. Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyles on 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.